Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, it's good to be in studio with you, and we have been reflecting recently on Fridays. It is good to be a Christian.
Absolutely. We are glad to be with you from our sunny studio in New Albany, Indiana. We miss this place, and we're glad we could be together here. It's great to be a Christian, and that's been our little theme we've been doing here recently, and that's a thought we just need to always put before us. Sometimes we get bogged down with rules, or we can get caught up with the spirit of the times and get negative and, you know, woe is me concept. But when we take a look at all the blessings, look at how great God has been to us, it is wonderful that we are people that belong to Him. So in our very first lesson, that was the topic. We belong to God. We're not just a number. We're not just a faceless identity. We are the people of God, and God recognizes us. Our second lesson was the great work God has put in our hands, the work of the kingdom, the greatest work on the face of the earth God has allowed us to be a part of. And that's just an incredible work. And through storms and sunshine, we are busy doing the work of God. That's one reason why we're putting this podcast out, is because we're trying to encourage and teach and show people the way of God. Well, there's another lesson that follows in this series, the idea of being great, great to be a Christian. We want to talk today about our fellowship, the great fellowship we have in Jesus Christ. And that talks about predominantly the local congregation, but it goes to all Christians everywhere. The idea that we have a special bond, a special connection in Jesus, and that's something that is very, very important to us. We are the people of God. We are the family of God, and that carries responsibilities and obligations and masses of amount of privileges.
I think you used two really important phrases there. You said, in Jesus and of God. That's the way the Bible talks about fellowship. Fellowship is one of those words in our English language where lots of people have lots of misconceptions. When God talks about fellowship, He's not talking about coffee and donuts. He's not talking about us, you know, going out and joining a softball league together. There's nothing wrong inherently with enjoying those things together. But when God talks about fellowship, it is first and foremost about a relationship with Him that draws us into a relationship with each other. When I think of fellowship, I think of 1 John chapter 1, where John in verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light." There's our foundation number one, the pillar number one of fellowship. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, you know, to put that in more modern everyday terms, if I say I'm on God's team, if I'm walking with God, I'm hand in hand with Him, but I'm walking in the darkness, I don't have light in common with God. God is light, and I'm in the darkness. I'm lying and not practicing the truth. But if I walk in the light as He is in the light, John says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You hear it right there. It is great to be a Christian. Sins can be cleansed. I can come to be in the light, and I have this relationship with others who are walking in the light as well.
You know, and especially when we think about being together in a worship service. Now, we can't do it right now. We're getting close. And but we all know what that like, to come Sunday morning and to see each other and to be among each other, to blend our voices, to bow our heads together. What a wonderful, wonderful concept that is. That is so different from other things we do. When you fly on an airplane, when you go to a ball game, when you're in a movie theater, you have your little group that's with you, but by and large, the rest of the people you don't know and you really don't care to know. I mean, when I go to a movie theater and I'm sitting down and I see somebody coming up, I say, please don't sit beside me. I don't want you to, you know, I want to enjoy this movie by myself, and when it's over, I'm going to go home. And, you know, our fellowship is different from that. And so when we think about we belonging to God, we are God's children. The Bible uses words like brothers and sisters. We are family. And so no one is more precious, more dear to us than our blood family, blood in Jesus. And that's the idea he's showing us, that we are connected to each other through Jesus.
When I think of what you were describing, it's the difference between a member of an audience and a participant, right? When I sit in a movie theater, I'm just a member of an audience. When we gather together as a church, we're not just members of an indiscriminate audience. We are participants together in the worship of God.
And so a great Old Testament passage I want to read to you is from Psalms 133. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edges of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever." And so as he puts forth this principle, it's good and it's pleasant for brothers to dwell together, he then gives two illustrations. First is pouring oil on someone's head, and then just kind of trickles down through his beard and drips on his robe. And you know, for us in American society, that seems kind of gross. We think, I wouldn't like that upon me. But you go back to the Old Testament world where they didn't shower every day, and they walked, and there was dust and dirt, and they had those long, scraggly beards, and who knows what was in those things. And so the idea of this oil coming down, it's soothing. It feels good. That's the idea. That's what our fellowship does. It feels good to belong. It feels good to know that people support me and defend me. It's good to know that people are praying for me. They're saying my name to heaven. That's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. You don't get that at work. You don't get that oftentimes even in your extended family. But here among the people of God, that's there. Now, the other illustration he uses is of dew. Dew coming down from the mountains. And that brings the idea of nourishment. You know, the ground would be dry and be hard, and this dew would be just the very thing that the grass would need, the flowers would need to grow. It nourishes them. And sometimes that's the very thing we get from our fellowship. We come in on a Sunday or a Wednesday night, and the world's been hard on us, and we're dragging, and we feel kind of beat up. But there we see one another. There we see the smiles, and there we see the rejoicing, the songs, the prayers, the preaching. All of that lifts our spirits, and it nourishes us. It helps us keep going, because those are the good things that we see there.
I love in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 where those beautiful principles that you're describing from Psalms are framed for us in the context of New Testament Christians. We referenced 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2 several weeks ago at the beginning of this pandemic, how Paul describes himself as being prematurely torn away from these brothers for a time. But when I think of the beauty of our fellowship together, 1 Thessalonians 1 is one of the passages that comes to my mind where Paul says in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father." And then he mentions three things: your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you earlier, Roger, I appreciated those two phrases you used, of God and in Christ. Well, here it is. You've got people who didn't have anything in common, as far as we know of, other than the fact that they happened to live in the same ancient city of Thessalonica. But now they were in Christ. And what were they participating in together? What blessings were they sharing? Work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope. That's beautiful fellowship.
And taking off that middle phrase, the love that they had for each other, Paul would say in Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. We know what knitting is. Sewing together, not easily pulled apart, not easily torn apart, that they were connected to each other. And their connection, first and foremost, was that foundation and that bond they had in Jesus. Here's all these people from different backgrounds, different paths, and all kinds of differences, we might say, but they have become united because of Jesus. Jesus has saved us all, and he saved us the same way. And he has linked us together. And through that love, as we find other Bible verses saying this, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We pray for one another. This is some of the beautiful expressions the Bible brings out as it talks about our relationship with each other. I go so far with this lesson, and some people may have difficulty with this, but I go so far with this lesson by saying that I believe the greatest people on the face of the earth are Christians. Now, perfect people? Absolutely not. They're a work in progress, but they're following someone who's perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. And so maybe not the most successful as we think about financially, maybe not the most intelligent as we think about universities, but you know what? They have found what matters most for eternity, and that's Jesus. And so when I think about, and when I wrap myself around that concept, if the greatest people on the face of this planet today are fellow Christians, shouldn't I want to be around them? Shouldn't that be the core of my friendships? Shouldn't that be who I encourage my children to marry? Shouldn't that be the very concept that if these are the best people, now they're not perfect, as none of us are perfect, but what they are is they're following Jesus.
My Bible is still open there to 1 Thessalonians 1, and that's exactly what Paul says in verse 6. These people had become imitators of the Lord and of us, Paul says of himself and Silvanus and Timothy. These people weren't the greatest on the face of the planet because they had the most money or the highest education or the most amount of land, but they had dedicated themselves to being an imitator of Jesus. And Paul says, we want you to see how we are trying to imitate Jesus, imperfectly at times. We all, every single one of us, need the grace of this Lord Jesus Christ. But what a great goal for Christians. What a great goal for today as we head into the weekend, that we would grow and mature to be able to say, as Paul said in another context, you imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Now, among us, as we see in the New Testament, sometimes these relationships cause us to bump and bruise each other. And this is where the principles of Christ come out. So in the midst of 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, brethren were jealous, they weren't getting along, they had forgotten that they were the greatest people on the face of the earth. They had forgotten this amazing fellowship that they had. And so they were pulling apart from each other, and they were finger-pointing, and they were judging, and they were acting as if they were not in Jesus anymore. So Paul writes this little section here in 1 Corinthians 13. We use it at weddings, but really it's not about weddings. It's about our fellowship. Love is patient, he says. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And we understand from our study of the scriptures and other podcasts we've had about this, this love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not holding hands and candlelight. This is a choice. This is an attitude. This is a God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. This is Romans 5 verse 8. While we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus. And so when we think about our fellowship, there's times that we're going to need to be patient with each other because we're not the same place. There's times that we may kind of get on each other just a little bit, and we need to be kind towards each other. We need to be gentle with each other. We need to remind ourselves we are the family of God. The world looks at us, and if we can't get along, how in the world can we invite someone else?
That is grounded in that steadfastness of hope that we have in God. But to your point, that passage that I mentioned from 1 Thessalonians earlier, the love is described as a labor of love, right? A lot of people right now, especially in these strange times, laboring in their yards. We know what it is to labor. A young mother who has just delivered a baby most certainly knows what it is to labor. Love is not simply something that I feel but I don't express. Love isn't always easy. It's most certainly not always convenient. It is a labor. But it is springing from the steadfastness of my hope in God, and it is a work of my faith. That's what was binding those Thessalonians together. Their work of faith, their labor of love, the steadfastness of their hope.
Paul would say in one of his letters about a man by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras, he said, was laboring for you in prayer. Other translations use the expression wrestling, and we know what wrestling is. And so here's a guy who wasn't just going through simply saying some words to God. He was pouring his heart into it. He loved those people. He wanted the best for those people. So he was earnestly laboring for them in prayer to God. Powerful thought there.
And it's worth it. I think that's what we need to really draw from that 1 Corinthians 13 passage that you just read. Love never ends. Right now, we live in an era of faith and hope. We live in an era where creation is groaning beneath the weight of sin. And we ourselves, Paul says in Romans 8, are groaning because of this broken world and our broken bodies in which we live. But what's going to last into eternity is love. This beautiful fellowship. You know, every once in a while you'll have maybe a little child in a class or someone even in your own home ask. I had someone not long ago ask me, what was God doing before he said in Genesis 1, let there be light? And the biblical answer to that, as far as I understand it, is fellowship. Love. God is love. He says on page one of the Bible, let us. There was fellowship, perfect fellowship, before Genesis 1, and what we're being shown in 1 Corinthians 13, and certainly in the last book of the Bible, is love, perfect fellowship, is going to endure into eternity.
And one of the things that I see a lot among our church family is that they miss being together. It's something we can take for granted, and now for the past 6 weeks, we haven't been together, and we miss that. And Jason and I have been down here different times to the church building, and we can walk through that auditorium, that empty auditorium, but It's not it. It's not the building. It's not the auditorium. It's not the pews and the pulpit. It's the people. It's the people of all ages. It's the people who come in with walkers. It's the moms who come in with little babies. It's the smiles. It's the joy. And all of us are just anticipating that time when we can all to be together once again. Won't that be a wonderful, wonderful occasion? And so through this time period we are right now, we cannot be physically together. How do I manifest this great fellowship we have in Christ? What are some things that we could be doing?
Definitely contacting each other throughout the week, I think, is one of the most powerful, simple things we can do. Just hearing the sound of each other's voices. My girls have received different cards in the mail. I have received different cards in the mail. And I don't know about you, Roger, but lots of work going on right now. But when you, toward the end of a really busy day, where you're trying to serve up sections of God's Word for the health and growth of people, when you go out to the mailbox or you open your inbox or you pick up your phone and there is some little message of encouragement, like Solomon said in the Proverbs, that's like a cold drink of water on a hot, desolate day.
It's good to the bones, Solomon would say in Proverbs. And that's an idea. Another thing, and sometimes we don't think much about this. It's powerful in the New Testament. I don't know a section of Paul's writings where you do not find this, and that is pray to God for one another. Just take out that old church directory and just look at some of the names and pray to God about this person and say some things to God about this person. That they'd be healthy and that they're still connecting to the Lord and they're growing. And that again is an important concept we see throughout the scriptures, that we are linked together. And so we share our concerns and our love to God to be thankful. Be thankful. Can you imagine going through this time and your family is all there is in the congregation? There's no one else. There are places like that in our country. There's a lot of places like that all over the world. Small, maybe one or two families. How difficult that would be. And so many of us have an enormous church family. What a great blessing that is. And so utilize that and connect. And share and do what you can, because those are the things that really make a difference.
We're at the point in this pandemic where the shock has worn off and lots of reorganization has happened, and a lot of us are pivoting towards what sort of good is going to come from this. I know, Roger, this week in one of your jumpstarts, you reflected on the good that has come as a result of this, and the good, of course, that can continue. What a great thing to think that this brief period of separation from one another, if that helps us grow in our appreciation of our fellowship. That's a good thing. If this pandemic has created within us an even greater thirst for the eternal, perfect, uninterrupted fellowship with God and each other, that's a good thing. Any closing thoughts for the day?
You know, we sing this hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts Together." And no epidemic, no disease, no wars, no distance can separate the feeling that we have for each other. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it is expressed, it is felt, and it's enjoyed, and we just need to keep it going, realizing that we are blessed by God, and what a great, great fellowship we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Roger, thanks for joining me today. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. What a blessing to be able to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.